RTR, Truth Media Reloaded. Can you hear us now? The nation, the union is rising. And I want to ask these children who have been behind this, being supported by these anti-gun groups that don't even know the statistics or the facts about these weapons, now that your rights are being violated because of your screams, your hollering, your anti-constitutional screaming and rhetoric, can you hear us now? Can you see what you are bringing upon yourself? Some are. This was some of the statements. These new measures now have the same activists on the defensive. Quote, "I'm not happy with it. Why are you punishing me for one person's actions?" Unquote. Wow. I believe every law-abiding gun owner in the United States of America is asking you the same questions. Murder is already banned. Yet, according to these darlings, if you ban the guns, there will be no more gun crime or assault guns. There is no such thing as a gun crime. The gun cannot commit the crime. It is the person behind it. It is a criminal behind it. And if that were the case and that thought pattern were accurate because murder is already banned, then I would say we should have a zero murder rate in the United States of America. So a 19-year-old Stoneman Sr. told CNN Friday, that's exactly what they wanted. These students wanted to punish tens of millions of law-abiding gun owners by demanding the government take away the right to defend themselves, all for the actions of one person. But now, they're getting a taste of their own medicine. And yes, it does stink. I believe everyone has a right to privacy, even those who try to take away unalienable rights. The famous hog, David Hogg, the darling that got busted big time for his mouth, which we'll go over in just a little bit, said this, quote, "It's unnecessary. It's embarrassing for a lot of the students, and it makes them feel isolated and separated from the rest of American school culture. They're having essentially their First Amendment rights infringed upon because they can't freely wear whatever backpack they want, regardless of what it is," unquote. Well, first of all, Mr. Hogg, I would say you're probably going to be going more towards a Fourth Amendment issue than a First Amendment issue. So he also explained, quote, "One of the other important things to realize is many students want their privacy. There are many, for example, females in our school that when they go through their menstrual cycle, they don't want people to see their tampons and stuff," unquote. True. That right to privacy. It's amazing how when you start attacking other people's liberties and rights, it ends up backfiring upon yourself. Sad, but you know what? Unfortunately, some people have to learn the hard way. Now, before I get into further detail about who has been tied monetarily to this Florida student walkout, I have a caller on the line, and I would like to get to that caller. And okay. So we're going to cover, since apparently I do not have a caller on the line, who runs March for Our Lives? Always follow the money. Well, of course, I am going to be quoting an article at Freedom Outpost, March 25th, 2018. And it states, "It's a strange political fact, but nearly every major anti-gun group has been a front group. NRA has maligned 24/7 in it, yet it is completely oblivious to whom it represents, despite the efforts to tie it to everyone from firearms manufacturers to the Russians. If you can't tie any of the random Republican thing to the Russians these days, you won't be working at Washington Post or CNN for very long. It represents its 5 million members. Anti-gun groups tend to represent shadowy networks." Every town, famous for this, who's also connected to whom? Bloomberg. "Every town, the noisiest and most dishonest anti-gun group on the scene. One consistent thing about the anti-gun groups is that they are usually the opposite of what their name says that they are. Every Town for Gun Safety was formed out of two other groups, Moms Demand Action and Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And if you do your research on Mayors Against Illegal Guns, you will find out that a lot of mayors quit that Mayors Against Illegal Guns because they found out what the true agenda was. And it had nothing to do with illegal guns at all, but confiscation of law-abiding citizens' weaponry. Both are actually front groups for Michael Bloomberg, the lefty billionaire and former boss of the Big Apple, who used New York City resources to host at least one of its websites. Every town is really New York City. March for Our Lives is on every cable channel, but who runs it? The photogenic teen fronts are out front, but it is obvious to everyone that a bunch of teens do not have the resources and skills to coordinate a nationwide movement. Instead, it's experienced activists who are actually running things. March for Our Lives Fund is incorporated as a 501c4. Donations to 501c4 groups are not tax deductible, and they do not have to disclose their donors. That's why they're a great dark money conduit. But March for Our Lives website suggests that donors who want to make a tax deduction donation should write a check to the March for Our Lives Every Town Support Fund. How will Bloomberg's organization provide support for the supposed student group? Why have two March for Our Lives funds, one dark, one light? And why is one being routed through the godfather of the gun control lobby? When it comes to March for Our Lives, the questions, of course, never end. The March for Our Lives permit application was filed by Dina Katz, a co-executive director of Women's March Los Angeles Foundation, and this wasn't just a little bit of a professional activist assistance. Application lists Katz as a person in charge of the events. Katz is a former Dancing with the Stars and current Bill Maher producer. She also the former owner of Talent Central and a Los Angeles talent agency. The leaked application lists her as the president of March for Our Lives Fund. I know you're shocked. Media contacts for March for Our Lives are being handled by 42 West. Agency is full-service PR firm operating out of New York and Los Angeles that represents major celebrities. 42 West was supposedly recommended by George Clooney, who was one of the number of major celebrity donors. Where did all the millions of dollars go? Good question. Well, quote, They're being directed by people with knowledge of how to responsibly spend this money, and it is going to be very transparent. Every penny is going to be accounted for, Jeff Caskey, the father of one of the students, claimed. Who are those people? A leaked document reveals that the March for Our Lives Action Fund is actually overseen by six directors and is incorporated in Delaware. So far, we've Los Angeles, New York, and Delaware, but not Florida. I know everyone is shocked. Donations are being directed to March for Our Lives Fund at 16130 Ventura Boulevard, Site 320, Encino, California, 91435. That matches the listed office address on the application for Wish Now, Ross, Wawarski, and Company. The tax firm appears to have no website. The six directors lean toward Los Angeles. There's Aline Adams, who is the head of Do Good LA, who has served as the deputy mayor for the Office of Strategic Partnership for Los Angeles. Adams also UCLA's vice provost for strategic alliances. Nor is she the only UCLA person on the list. There's also George Kiefer. He's chair of the UCLA Board of Regents, who was named one of the most influential lawyers in California. He's also held a variety of other political positions and headed the California State Protocol Foundation, which funds expenses for Governor Jerry Brown. Then there's, of course, Nina Vinyak, who serves as the program director for Gun Violence Prevention Program at the Joyce Foundation. The Joyce Foundation has been notable for its gun control efforts and is not surprising to find it here. Joyce Foundation also set up the Anti-Gun Fund for a Safer Future. One story claims that several members of the Fund for a Safer Future are organizing internally to explore new ways of engagement in the wake of Parkland. Another states that Joyce Foundation funds research to help grantees understand how different audiences think about the issue. It is up to grantees to come up with tactics. After Parkland, Nina wrote militant editorial using some very familiar talking points like, quote, maybe it's time to ask the Supreme Court about the rights of the Parkland parents to see their kids grow up, unquote. The Joyce Foundation and Nina are based out of Chicago. Over in Washington, D.C., there is Vernetta Walker of Board Source acting as the fund's secretary and Jerry Rhodes of Friends Committee on National Legislation acting as its treasurer. Then out of Madison, Wisconsin comes Melissa Schultz. Florida is notably absent from all of the roll call. Instead, the organization, one of a number of seeming incarnations of the March for Our Lives brand, draws the established activist talent from the usual places. Chicago, Los Angeles, and Washington, D.C., there's nothing particularly local about it. March for Our Lives is funded by Hollywood celebrities, it is led by a Hollywood producer, and its finances are routed through an obscure tax firm in the Valley. Its treasurer and secretary are Washington, D.C. pros, and the top funder of gun control agendas is also one of its directors. None of this has much to do with Parkland at all. The mass shooting by a mentally ill man who should have been committed and arrested long before he carried out this massacre was political opportunity. Now that that opportunity is being exploited to the hilt by a professional class of political activists, gun control activists wring their hands over the NRA. They claim that the special interest lobby is illegitimately thwarting the will of the people, yet it is the anti-gun groups that are invariably false fronts. It's clear who runs the NRA, but the latest fake anti-NRA group is a nebulous shadow. Out front of the high school students and out back are the professional activists. And who is really behind the whole thing? Hollywood celebrities, Bloomberg, a network of organizations. We know who supports the NRA. And you can see NRA stickers on car windows, even in the bluest cities in the country. But who really supports the anti-gun political network? You'll need to spend hours sorting through paperwork, following the trail, comparing addresses, and researching names to even get a hint. That's what an illegitimate lobby thwarting the will of the people really looks like. instead of March for Our Lives, maybe it's time to march for the truth. Good job, Daniel Greenwald. So he is exposing all of the connections in which you need to know about. And we've been warning these children time and time again that when you call for government to interact, or when you call for YouTube to interact, and they have laughed for a very long time when we have reported about the different issues that will eventually come back to bite you in the rump. It always does. So before I go into some other things that have ended up backfiring and of more people standing, I want to share with you, and this is the title of her Facebook page, Young, Black, and Conservative on Facebook. I believe her message really needs to be heard, and I would like to share that with you right now, Mike, if you would please play that clip.
Hey everybody, it's Patty Politics, and we really need to talk about something real quick. I've been on this gun control thing and talking about firearms and the right to bear arms for a couple weeks now, and it's starting to really hit the fan. Today, a man named Michael Ian Black got on Twitter and said that gun ownership, number one, is a form of modern slavery. And then number two, said that we should abolish the Second Amendment and make gun ownership a privilege and not a right. Gun ownership, the Second Amendment, a part of our Constitution, a privilege and not a right. Where have I heard that before? Now that this all goes into it together, hello, my love. This all goes into multiple things. Gun ownership, a constitutional right, being a privilege instead of a right. I've heard that before, with how people say that voting should be a privilege and not a right. With people saying that free speech should be a privilege and not a right. With people saying that due process should only apply to some people and not other people. And then it's really weird for some white liberal named Michael Ian Black, who calls himself a comedian but really isn't funny at all, to say that gun ownership is a form of modern slavery. I love to see him say that to the face of someone like Malcolm X or Martin Luther King or Harriet Tubman. Oh, I forgot, they died fighting for their civil rights. Harriet Tubman took hundreds of African Americans out of slavery holding a revolver, and her response to people who decided that they didn't want to leave the hands of their slave owners was, if only some of them knew that they were slaves in the first place. A quarter of African Americans in the United States own guns. That's just the recorded number. Who knows how many more own guns for the safety of their families, to protect themselves, to protect their children. I myself, I'm a mother that has guns in the house. And Michael Ian Black is saying that I, a black woman, am engaging in a form of modern slavery? Are you for real, man? Now he's out there putting out petitions, having 5,000 or 6,000 or so people are signing petitions saying that my right to a gun that was denied to me, that was denied to my ancestors, because they were afraid that if an African American owned a gun that they could protect themselves from oppression, from the KKK. That should be a privilege? Have you lost your mind? I've seen so many dumb posters, the March for Our Lives. Oh, the March for Our Lives, when they're out there, being funded by places like Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood kills more black kids than an NRA member hasn't killed anyone, but Planned Parenthood is out here putting their billboards in hoods and in neighborhoods with African Americans, with mostly African Americans. And we're out here saying, we're for the March for Our Lives. Choose life. They're taking the Choose Life slogan, applying it to gun ownership, saying that because I'm a gun owner, or that maybe I support the NRA, or maybe I support the gun owners of America, that I'm the problem? Michael Ian Black is another white liberal, just like Shannon Watts, just like any of these other white liberals that are out here telling people how to feel, telling minorities that they are engaging in some sort of slavery because they're demanding the rights that they were denied to them years ago. African Americans, if you are for gun control, you have really lost your way. It's so funny because people will come up onto my page, Young, Black, and Conservative, and say that I'm the one who's lost my way. I ain't the one telling you not to defend yourself. I'm not the one telling you that you shouldn't feel angry, that it's actually police who are more likely to kill you rather than another gun owner. NRA's not out here killing black people. It's the government. It's the people who are saying that they're here to serve and protect. Broward County sheriffs didn't serve and protect anybody. Just saying. Michael Ian Black, you've lost your mind. I'm not engaging in slavery because I'm preserving my rights. Maybe you're engaging in slavery because you wish to deny mine.
And on that note, I don't think she could have said it any better. Anyone who tries to disarm law-abiding Americans are pro-slavery, like it or not. There's only one form of gun control, and that is knowing how to hit your target. The rest is a farce for people control. That's it. The people screaming for gun control are not against force, and I'm going to prove that right now. You know, some of these sheriff's candidates that I mentioned earlier, they are awesome. But you have other sheriff's candidates that they just want to fit in with that gun-grabbing group because they want that vote. Now, whether he meant what he said, I'm going to tell you about a sheriff candidate, Daryl Fisher. He is running for sheriff in North Carolina. And on March the 7th, he's running for sheriff as a Democrat in front of the Moms Demand Action meeting at the West Asheville, North Carolina Public Library. He professed support of, quote, common sense gun control laws. And we now find out that he really went much further than that. By common sense legislation, he means he wants to see bans on full capacity magazines for both rifles and handguns, bans on any weapon used by the military, and upping the purchase of age for all guns to 21. He endorsed the whole slew of new restrictions on regulations on concealed carry. What he would do if gun owners don't comply with the laws, and he would like to see enacted. He advocated killing anyone who refuses to surrender their guns. Quote, you've heard people say you've had to pry my gun from my cold dead hands. He then shrugged his shoulders, shook his head back and forth, and continued and said, quote, okay. Now let me tell you something about this. This is what this gentleman said, full capacity magazines. Apparently, this man knows nothing about weapons. A magazine is a magazine. Okay? The weapons used by the military, which he is referencing, the automatics, are virtually impossible to get a hold of. You have to go through federal checks. You have to go through years of background and fingerprinting and all of this. Fully automatic weapons are not just available on the street. Some people want to say, oh, well, those bump stocks, you can do the same thing with a belt, and it is not as easy as you think. We've had weapons specialist Jeremy Alcide on with us before explaining how a bump stock works, and it still does not make it a fully automatic weapon. Personally, I would not want a bump stock because you have to do the reverse. When you hold a shotgun or a rifle to your arm, you're going to pull back to hold it to your shoulder. With a bump stock, you have to do the opposite. You have to push it forward. It is not something that you just pick up and automatically, oh, it just makes it fire like an automatic weapon. No, that's not the case. Then upping the purchase age for all guns to 21. Well, I find that interesting because most of the constitutions within the United States, America, check your state constitutions, some of them have the militia being as young as 17. So that's contrary to the state constitutions as well, even for the militia. You have the organized militia. You have the unorganized militia. The unorganized militia is the whole body of the people. Well, let's hear what this sheriff, so that you're not just taking my word for it. Let's hear what this sheriff, if you're in North Carolina, be aware. He is running for sheriff as a Democrat. R. Daryl Fisher in North Carolina. This is what he has to say about your unalienable rights and your right to self-defense. Apparently, he has no problem leaving a bag of dead bodies around. And these are the type of people that they're wanting to put in office. This is what feeds the police state. This is not only what feeds the police state. This is what causes those unlawful stops where people get killed by law enforcement. We report and report and report on this. If you would, Mike, please play that clip.
Now, to answer your question, how far do we go? Any weapon that's designed for use by the military, I think we should ban. Yeah. Somebody asked a question earlier. What about people that already have weapons? Well, I'm going to tell you now, don't buy into the scare tactics. Don't believe the scare tactics, because you've heard people say, you'll have to pry my gun from my cold, dead hands. Okay. Whenever you pass away, we'll come get it. I don't know. I'm just saying. Joking just a little bit there. Now, the government cannot take a firearm that was legally purchased. So, based on the law today, if somebody purchases a firearm legally,
Mike,
if we were able to pass a law tomorrow banning that firearm.
So the point is, joking or not, that is not something you joke about. Ever. This is the type of mentality, and this is the reason that I'm so excited about what I reported to you at the beginning of the show. Regular, ordinary Americans that understand our rights, that understand weaponry. This man, if he is not ignorant, then he is a liar one way or the other. He is either ignorant on weaponry or a liar. Because the weapons that are designed for the military are not out on the streets unless the ATF or the police are putting them out there. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that in a little while if I have enough time to cover it. So this is the type of individuals you need to dig into, the individuals that are in your communities that are running. Because believe me when I say, we're in a war, and most of it is a psychological war. And I'm glad that Moms Demand Action, this also shows you, again, they were the ones laughing and thinking it was funny at the thought of murdering people. But they want to be in the crowds and claim that they're marching for lives and they care about children. But they had no problem laughing at the thought of his statement. That's who you're really dealing with. And thank God there are people across our union that are standing up and being that difference. I am so thankful for that. Personally, even though the mental health evaluation thing, we've been covering that, why aren't all our congressmen and senators and sheriffs and all of those individuals, why aren't they required to have a mental evaluation before they get into office? Why aren't they required to take a constitutional test and pass it? That's the question for the day. That's what needs to be implemented. We'll be right back after a couple words from our sponsors.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
RTR, Truth Media Reloaded. Thank you for joining me this evening. And as I was telling you earlier, this sheriff, this man running for sheriff should not be allowed to be sheriff. Why are there no mental health evaluations on politicians that make our laws? Why are there no requirements to pass a test to even know what's in the Constitution, yet you take an oath to it? And like I said before, If you remember Operation Fast and Furious, they were selling guns to drug cartels that were known for murdering people, and over 200 people were connected with the deaths and those weapons. Well, not only that, hey, let me give you a recent story. To Gardenia, police officers have been indicted by a federal grand jury on charges of using their position to acquire firearms and illegally selling more than 100 of the weapons to others, including convicted felon. Detective Carlos Manuel Fernandez, 42, and Officer Edward Yashiro Arrow, 47, face a combined 5 felony counts, including conspiring to deal firearms without a license, according to the indictment unsealed Friday in the U.S. District Court. This is not old news, people. This was just put out March 26th this year. Can you hear us now? We're coming for you, corrupt individuals. Now, I may not agree with the gun laws, and I don't, because the Constitution is clear, shall not be infringed means that, shall not. However, these individuals were law enforcement officers. They had no problem locking people up and enforcing unconstitutional codes in the first place. Hold them to the standard that they hold us to. Rules for radicals. In one of the 2017 sales, Fernandez knew that he was selling to a straw buyer who was not the actual person getting the gun, according to the indictment. The person who eventually received the weapon was a convicted felon banned from possessing firearms. Now, as I said, I do not agree with that either, because once you've served your time and you've paid your fine, anything after that as far as restrictions is cruel and unusual punishment, in my opinion. However, these are law enforcement officers. These law enforcement officers probably would have had no problem whatsoever locking up an average individual citizen that they weren't gun dealing to. The point is, the criminals will get the weapons one way or another because law enforcement have been busted over and over again. ATF has been busted over and over again, whether it be DEA, you name it, FBI, all of them. Over and over again, whether it has to do with selling guns, selling drugs, they're all complicit. They're the ones who are going to have the guns as the criminals if you ban guns. I refuse to be a victim, and my ultimate women's right that I had from my first breath is to be able to defend myself and my family. Now, whether it be from a criminal or a tyrant, it is still self-defense. There was also a heist of 31 guns reported from Compton City Vault. And that is the latest problem in scandal-plagued city, according to LA Times. This was today. City Hall. The guns were kept in the 1920 era vault in a municipal building in North Alameda. Compton officials struggled for months to say where they came from, and now they're where a load of them have gone. City dismantled its police force 18 years ago. Were they left over from the old department, or were they sidearms removed 4 years ago from code enforcement officers who had taken to arming themselves? Were they purchased as a part of a failed push to receive the police force in 2010? Those questions last year with the new city manager. Well, he ordered them to be inventoried. And guess what happened? The city found that there are missing weapons. They learned about the stash in the old City Hall building from a code enforcement officer. They were ordered to be inventoried and turned over to Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Deputies counted 198 weapons in March. When they went back to retrieve the guns in August, there were 167. So, Rambo, the Sheriff's Department, and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives are asking who stole 31 of them. Thieves made off with 23 .40 caliber pistols, and 8 Glock 40 caliber pistols. Of course, the Sheriff's Department and Compton City officials notified the ATF, which opened an investigation in September and is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction. Now, do you think anyone's going to speak up about that? Of course not. Like we said, criminals will always be armed. And these children that are being used by these pro-activists, by Bloomberg, and by all these individuals, please wake up, because you are being used. You are being manipulated, and I think you're getting a little bit of a taste of that, because now your right to privacy has been invaded a little bit with those clear book bags. And now you have to have a quote-unquote school ID. I hope they don't have those tracking IDs in them, by the way, because there was a girl in Texas years ago that had to fight that because it had an RFID situation in it to where it tracked them even all the way back to the house. So your rights may be being violated even more than you know. You might want to check that out. I have a caller on the line, and then I'll get to my next statement, because I want you to be able to hear, possibly, if I have enough time, what Governor Matt Bevin of Kentucky had to say. Hi, Rabbi John. How are you doing this evening?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about two quick points. Here we go. You know, the Constitution, you got the right to keep and bear arms, but that's a bunch of baloney without no bread on it, because 20-something years ago, a gun didn't help me. I got shot by some gang members that had a gun that they never should have had. Underage boys, but that's what they were, boys. All because I whooped two of them butts.
Mm-hmm.
See, one of them had a gun they never should have had.
Mm-hmm. So, and I understand that perspective.
All the guns need to be taken away.
And I understand that perspective, but let me ask you this.
No, you don't. No, you
let
don't.
Me ask you this.
You don't
this.
Understand at all.
Oh, I
the
do.
The law didn't help me.
Oh, I do. Because the law, that's the point. The law doesn't help you. Anytime you disarm law-abiding citizens, you're making it to where only the criminals and the thugs and the gangbangers, just like what you're talking about, will get a hold of them. Because they don't give a rip about the law. Okay? And I know that firsthand, because I have stopped 4 people myself. I'm 4'11" and a half. I'm little. I've stopped 4 thugs from beating a man to death in my front yard. You know who had the weapon? Me, in self-defense of that man's life. Otherwise, he would have been dead. These were not just gangbangers. These individuals were previously felons. So yes, I understand very well what you're talking about. You're right. They should have never had that. But the gangbangers are always going to get them, even if they get them from the ATF, the police, or on the streets. They're going to get them. You have the right, or should have the right, I don't know where you're located, to be armed to defend yourself. It is your choice whether to do that. However, as an individual, nobody has the right to step on your individual right that you had for self-defense from your first breath. Just like you don't have the right to take my right to self-defense away from me, because I refuse to be a victim. I will not be a victim again. I have been in the hood. I have lived in the hood. I know all about it. Don't assume that I don't know what you're talking about, because I do.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Well, you can. 20 years ago, I was convicted felon.
And you should still have the right, after you've served your time and after you've paid your fine, you should still have the right to bear arms. The Constitution didn't say you have that right unless you have a right to defend your life. Otherwise, the point is, with them implementing that upon you, with them implementing that. Right, but what I'm saying is those laws are unconstitutional. I get what you're saying, but they are doing
what,
right, and you should have the right.
But the
you
state
served your time, you paid your fine.
The federal government agreed with the state. Did you know that?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Of course it's unconstitutional, and the state, the federal government agrees with it. Matter of fact,
of course they do, and that's why we have to change that narrative. That's why we have to change that narrative, because you have a right to defend your life. And that's cruel and unusual punishment.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. It is, from your first breath. It doesn't matter what a fictitious entity says. You've got a right to defend your life. You do.
Let me tell you something. I was going to say something about Kill Saul George, but I'll scratch that. The guy that did all that shoot up in that school, had that person been black, those cops would have been in a second. Oh, by the way.
I don't necessarily buy that.
Oh, you want to bet?
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy that, because a lot of the same crap that they did in Broward with this Cruz individual, and I'm not absolutely buying the whole narrative with that school shooting. I think there was more than one because of a lot of different eyewitness testimony, but
it wasn't black.
That's irrelevant. What I'm getting ready to say is a lot of the same stuff that they did with this kid with Broward is a lot of the same stuff and covering up that they did with Trayvon. A lot of it. It's the corruption of the police department, period. They should have been in that school when those guns were going off instead of standing out there and letting a kill zone go on. There's no excuse. I don't care what color you are.
I'm not allowed to have a gun, so therefore, I live right here in Arkansas. Oh, by the way, did you know that Governor Mike Huckabee, whose daughter Sarah is not a presidential spokesman for Trump, did you know he pardoned two people? Wayne Dumas, the man that raped Bill Clinton's cousin, and another guy, Ricky Ray Rector, that went on to kill those four cops in Seattle. I applied for a pardon from that scumbag, and he turned me down. Now, from the moment he did that, about 2 months later, I heard about what happened in Seattle and what happened in Missouri. I'm thinking, what am I doing right that everybody else is doing wrong? See, I'm not running around raping cops and shooting women. Another governor comes in. All he does is pardon drug dealers. And the new governor we got now, again, I put in my pardon, he pardoned drug dealers. So what am I doing right that everybody else is doing wrong?
See, well, you know, it's not just you that they're targeting with this. They're doing this to a lot of people. And that's why it's so important for all of us to stand united together. However, do you think it is right that you feel like just because you can't have a weapon that it is okay to take that right from someone else? Do you like the fact that you cannot have your weapon and defend your life?
See, the trouble with this country is nobody's trusted with a fully loaded automatic rifle.
It's not. There are no fully automatic loaded rifles on the streets.
They don't trust a citizen to have a citizen militia where in Switzerland a government inspector comes by early in the month to inspect the weapon that the government issue you, because every citizen is required, at least if they're able-bodied, is required to be called up in immediately emergency just in case.
Yes. Absolutely, but here's the thing.
Even Hitler didn't want
these are not automatic weapons that we're talking about. None of them are. They're semi-automatic. These are not military equipment weapons either. ARs stands for Armalite, not automatic rifle. They are not automatic. They are semi-automatic. One finger pull is one shot. Period.
I don't want nobody to have no gun.
Well, guess what? It doesn't matter what you want. I was born with that right.
That ain't what the government said.
It's that simple. I don't care, but that doesn't matter.
Back in 1933.
Guess what? I don't care. I was born with the right to self-defense. And my job is to defend myself, my family, my children, my grandchildren, my community. And I'm sorry if that hurts somebody's feelings. Your feelings are not my responsibility. It is up to you to handle your own feelings.
Your great-great-grandparents obeyed the government back in 1933 when Roosevelt got on the radio to my, I want you to turn in your gold. If you don't, you're going to be charged. Everybody didn't want to be a criminal.
Some did. Why? Not everybody did. Just some. A lot of them
you
did.
You want to bet?
But I get what you're saying. But I do have another caller, and I do appreciate you calling.
If it becomes
and
law,
I do
the
appreciate
people will turn in their guns.
Yeah. Okay. Some will. There's no doubt about that. Some will. And some won't. You know? But the point is, that doesn't mean it's constitutional. That doesn't mean that they're not trampling on your unalienable rights. And for you to suggest that other individuals should be disarmed because you're disarmed, then that's not even a valid argument. So I'm going to say thank you so much for calling and giving me your perspective on that. And hopefully you will call back in, but I'm limited on time right now. And I have one more caller and we only have 9 more minutes of the show this evening. I hope things get better for you and I hope you get your pardon because it's to me, that's a violation of cruel and unusual punishment. If you've already served your time and you've already paid your fines, then they should not be able to continue to punish you. That is not a constitutional thing. And on that note, how are you doing tonight, Brian?
Oh, I'm doing good. Can you hear me all right?
I can.
I just wanted to say, number one, keep up the good work on that topic. You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
There used to be on the books in Nevada law that once somebody was released from jail, they mm-hmm. were given a rifle and a horse so that mm-hmm. they could continue to transport themselves and to defend themselves. That has since changed, and of course that change is unconstitutional. But I'd mm-hmm. also like to remind people that there is two types of militia. There is
the organized
militia, and there is the unorganized militia. And everybody mm-hmm. belongs to the unorganized militia.
Absolutely.
As
keep talking.
As long as you're between the ages of,
yep. the
of
Dick
18
Act
or whatever the, yep. The upper age limit is. And then, mm-hmm. We all, you know, there used to be a manner of being pardoned for your transgression against the state or the city or whatnot, and you are restored all of your rights, and that's mm-hmm. gone too. But it's also unconstitutional to take that away. And then the last thing I'd like to say is never argue with an idiot.
Well, you know, other people have opinions, and their opinions need to be out there. And if you don't allow their opinions to be out there, then we're no better than the other individuals that are trying to stifle ours. Right?
Gotcha, but you'll never win the argument.
Right. So are you aware of the Dick Act?
I couldn't say that I am. Tell me what it is.
Okay, Dick Act, I believe it's either 1902 or 1903. I'm pretty sure it's 1902, but just in case... if that doesn't come up, look up for the Dick Act of 1902. It specifically goes in detail about the unorganized militia, okay? And it talks about them owning as many weapons and as much ammunition as you can possibly get your hands on. That's how much they wanted the unorganized militia to have, as much as you can buy, as much as you can store, because they were responsible for their own weaponry, of course, you know? And
I would add, because that just reminded me about something in your argument with the last caller, mm-hmm. the issue of whether or not it is a military firearm is a non-issue. The idea behind the Second Amendment was to suppress tyranny from the government, and mm-hmm. in order to do that, you needed to have weapons equal to the government.
Absolutely. And so if you remember back in the day, they try to use that musket issue, but that's a moot point too, because they had the puckle gun. The puckle gun was a lot like I don't know if you've ever seen it, but that was before the Revolutionary War that it was created. Okay, you've got the puckle gun, you've got the cannons. Okay, these weren't just muskets that were fought. They had the same type of armory that they wanted and the arms that they needed in order to fight off the British. In order to do that, they had to be able to go toe to toe with the army. And you know, that's what the Second Amendment is about.
There was also a fight, and I couldn't tell you the details of the fight, but it was a war of sorts where mm-hmm. the military needed cannons, and they got the cannons from the citizenry.
Yep.
So the militia had cannons at one time.
Mm-hmm.
People, oh, citizens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And who do they think wrote the Declaration of Independence? It wasn't the states.
Sure. And of course, why did they write it? They wrote it to keep the invading army from taking away the arms of the citizens, so the citizens couldn't fight.
So, I mean, you know, when they're declaring freedom from Britain, from that British oligarchy rule, then there's a reason for that, because all of the same type of tyranny, and if you reread the Declaration of Independence and see how much of the same exact things that they were talking about then, they're talking about now.
Today.
It's happening today. It is unbelievable how much people don't realize that. And that's why I'm so excited when I was speaking on the show earlier today. People are rising up all across our union, and I am so thrilled to see it. I'm not talking about career politicians. We are all sick of career corrupt politicians that only care about the paycheck. We're done with it. And to see these kids...
There's another thought in there, and I'm glad you said that. I don't mean to disrupt you, but...
No, you're fine.
I'm glad you're calling a union, because we're not exactly a country. But we're a union of countries that have come together, and therefore the ruling class isn't really a ruling class, or it shouldn't be a ruling class. The ruling class should be the states.
Well, if people realize that we were a union, and here's the thing: the definition of constitution is laws that govern a nation, and guess what? Every state has one. And on that note, thank you so much for calling, Brian. I hope you call back. And as always, everyone, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem. As always, everyone, watch your backs, check your facts. Semper Fi, Dallas. Have a wonderful night. Join us again tomorrow night.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.